Well, we said expository preaching is sort of like fishing. You'll never know what you get till you get in there. In the direction that the Lord seems to be taking, we're in Exodus chapter 12. Today is about as practical, and I was going to say as oatmeal in a restaurant. But then Walter showed up. So I'm going to say about as practical as a veggie sub at Subway. It's nutritious. It's good for you. It'll get you up the road. Some might even enjoy it. But it's just not real exciting. So the title of this message is Veggie Sub. Chapter 12, verse 31. We're trying to get Moses out of Egypt. I'm really trying. And he called for Moses, Pharaoh did, and Aaron by night, and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks, your herds, as ye have said, and be gone. Bless me also." Let's not forget that. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people. Well, their firstborns were all just destroyed, so I bet they were urgent. "And that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough," this is God's people, they're getting ready to go through the Red Sea, "took their dough before it was leavened." Don't leave home without the bread. I was going to preach that, but "their kneading troughs," that's a little tray that they knead their bread in, "being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians." Now, keep your hand there, but run back to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 is when Moses, when the Lord prophesied that this was going to happen, and this was fulfilled in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 21. The Lord told Moses, and I will, we'll begin in verse 20, "And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, and I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty." Father, thank you for your holy, precious, preserved word, and Lord, help me to take it and bridge something that was penned, I think, 3,500 years ago, maybe 4,000, and apply it to our lives today so that we could go away nourished spiritually in our spirits and our souls with your word. I'll trust you for that, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. He said in Exodus chapter 12, don't go out empty. He said in, in 3, don't go out empty. And he said in Exodus chapter 12, take the things that are required. Now, I had to stop and ask the Lord a question there. Weren't you going to rain manna from heaven? Why a kneading trough? Weren't you going to bring water from a rock? Weren't you going to lay quails in their laps? Weren't you going to, we learn in, later in that, looking, being able to look back at the story, that's what's nice about having the end of the story, that their shoes would not wear out, even in 40 years of wandering. Raiment from the Egyptians? Jewels of silver and jewels of gold? Take these things that are required. Don't go out empty. So I want to bring a boring message this morning and talk about a balance of Bible principles concerning provision. Concerning provisions. Let's start in Matthew chapter 6. And I just heard Ben preaching this morning. I've never prayed for a dog like I have the last couple days. You You see one of those armor bearers doing their job, say, good job, Ace. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, and I want to shake you up a little bit today. I want to upset you today. If you're set and you got this thing in your mind and I got this thing in the mind that this is the way it is and this is the way that I know the Bible said, let's just dig a little bit below the surface and have some fun with some very practical Christian living today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Would I be safe in assuming that God here, I can conclude, does not want me to fret about provision? He doesn't want me to get nervous about what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to put on. He will provide for us. Amen? But the question demands an answer. How will he provide for us? Will he drop manna from heaven like he did in the Exodus? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul's letter to the Thessalonian church that he began, and where Charlie and Rachel are this morning. 2 Thessalonians. By the way, you say, what happened to this church? We learned about that last week. What happened to the church at Ephesus? Evidently, they didn't heed the warning that we got last week. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. How will God provide? Verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You know when you're going to find food miracles in the Bible? When there's no work and there's no food and it's famine. Here's the way Matthew 6 plays out. God provides work, which provides us food. God provides dirt, and God provides seeds, and God provides rain so that we can plant and weed and till and harvest and pick up. That's the way God provides. You don't see miracles of ravens coming down and feeding prophets, or little lads with loaves and fishes, or manna falling from heaven unless there's no food and no work. So don't die waiting for God to provide. And in every one of those cases, those people were on a specific mission for God. Now go to Matthew 6, because he gives us a little, I love the Bible, gives us a little insight here, how to help us. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about where the next meal's coming from. Verse 25, he says in verse 6 of Matthew chapter 6, behold the fowls of the air. In another place he says, consider the fowls. They sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now, he asked the question, doesn't God provide for the fowls of the air? Well, sure he does. And how does he provide it? Does he drop worms in the nest? You've never seen a lazy bird. You know what God does? He provides seeds, and he provides bugs, and he provides grass, and he provides worms. And you look out there every morning, long before you and I get up, you know what they are? They're working to get provision from God. The only ones that are in it, that God never dropped a worm in a nest. That mother had to go get that worm for that little child that wasn't big enough to get out of that nest yet. And if you'll notice, once that little boy or girl, Tweety bird, is big enough to get out, you're on your own now. I'm not feeding you with my worms. You go work for it. You go hunt for it. You ever see a bird? You ought to. You ought to get out of Facebook and Fleshbook and Xbox, and you ought to look at the birds. And birds like this. You're going to say that that's just dropping it in their lap? They're looking over their shoulder for the putty cat. God, and it's dangerous, God provides them stuff for them to go out and get. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Don't worry, I'll provide for you so you can go out and get it. 1 Timothy chapter 5. So practical this morning, amen. But right along Ben's line, where we have a lot of questions, and I think it's crucial where we're at in this ministry now. I used to have all the answers. Now I'm not sure I know the questions. But a poor plan violently executed will usually bring forth more than sitting back and doing nothing. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, whoa, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel? Listen, heads of house, denied the faith? You don't provide for your own, you've denied the faith. Isn't that a bit strong? Denied the faith? I ain't got nothing against God. I'm just waiting for my ship to come in when I've not sent any out. You know why? Because the rule is, if you don't work, you don't eat. And by faith you believe that, and if you deny that and just sit back and don't provide, you're worse than an infidel. Do you know what an infidel is? An infidel is an unbeliever. Well, that's a little bit strong too, I thought to myself. Why does he say worse than an infidel? Because most infidels prepare for provision. They get some skill. In 10th grade, man, they're pulling me in a guidance counselor's office. What do you want to do for the rest of your life? Play sports and chase girls. No, that's not on the list. What do you want to do? You need to prepare. Now, most infidels develop a skill, or in their mind or in their hands or in their body, for the sole of provision. Proverbs 24:27. Proverbs 24:27. The Bible's a practical book. It's not all spooky. It's not all prophecy and all that. I'm so excited to say that 1989, how many years ago was that? 26 years ago. I wrote a little note in my Bible, and this is when God called me to go to a Bible college at the counsel of my pastor. It said, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. I want to ask everybody a question. What is your plan for provision? Young man, what is your plan for provision? Well, preacher, you don't understand. I'm going in the ministry. Great. So did I. What is your plan for provision? Well, preacher, you don't understand. We like to do things together as a family. We're a family unit. Praise the Lord, so are we. I got a wonderful wife and 9 children and 5 grandchildren, 6 grandchildren. Yes, I lose count. We do it as a family too. I'll ask you a question. What is your plan for provision? Preacher, you don't understand. I have all girls. I have all girls too. What is your plan for provision? Preacher, you don't understand. I'm a Bible believer. I believe strongly that the husband is to be the breadwinner. And I read over there about the wife being the keeper at home, so do I. What is your plan for provision? Here's what he said in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He said, thy fool in another place, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Do you have a conviction about these things, about the what we might call the traditional roles of husbands and wives and the way they are in the Bible? I do, but I want to ask you a question. Does your plan provide for you to maintain your convictions in your absence? Let's play, sir, let's play, what if I died today? My wife said that, we're going to play what if I died. Stop that. Tom Bateen did. Ken Parfit did. Dave Hance did. Right, we're Bible believers, right? We know that it's appointed unto men once to die. We don't know tomorrow, isn't that right? Let's play what if I died today? What happens to mom and the kids? Or maybe you're a mom and you're a head of house. What happens to the kids? God will take care of her. How? Manna from heaven? Only if there's no work and there's a famine. We had a woman one time here. Bless her heart. She left her husband for some reasons that he was very wicked. And I called her bluff and called the guy, and it was nothing of the sort. But she opened up the Bible and basically demanded of us, because I am required in the Bible, let's go there, let's go to Titus chapter 2. Well, so I'll show you what she showed us. Now it's getting real interesting. You're awful quiet. Amen. Just like eating a veggie sub, Walter. Just, well, here it is. You know, I mean, can I get a little more sweet onion on here or something? Titus 2:5. Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. Verse 3, let's start in verse 3, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. You're an older woman, you have older children, you ought to be holy, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And I believe this next verse is mainly by example, but also with your mouths, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You say, that's old-fashioned. Yeah, that's old-fashioned when marriage is worked. Amen? And if you want to do it the modern way, it's a free country. Have at it. I'll love you and buy you a veggie sub anyways. But listen, this is what the woman said. She came here with Titus chapter 2, and she said, look it, I'm to be a keeper at home. Practically speaking, because of the offenses of my husband, I'm a widow, and the church has to take care of me. Now, let me give you a rule of interpretation of the Bible. You never interpret an obscure... Let me check that. You always interpret an obscure passage in light of a detailed passage. So let's take keepers at home. Can you think of a passage in the Bible that might expound on what God would have for a woman? And men, I'm going to get to you too, and young people, I'm going to get to you. But can you think of somewhere in the Bible where if, and I know it's an ideal, and I know we're all shooting for it, but a low aim never hit a high mark. But can you think of a passage in the Bible, coming up on Mother's Day here, where you can think of, all books have been written about this ideal woman, where would you think it would be? Proverbs 31. Thank you. Let's go there. Amen. Proverbs 31. The book of wisdom. Proverbs 31. Verse Let's look at the ideal keeper at home, can we? Amen. Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Me. Her price is far above rubies. That's because she's so rare. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. That means she's so ideal that he doesn't have to go somewhere else and get something from someone else. Reverentially, spiritually, emotionally, sexually, anything. He safely trusts in her. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That means she don't check out at 50. All the days. This is God's ideal woman. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. I had a preacher friend. He didn't believe in letting his wife go to the store to do the groceries. He said, I believe that woman needs to stay in the house according to Titus chapter 2. And she can't. Well, he certainly didn't line up with this ideal woman. She bringeth her food from afar. Aldi's, Wegmans, Tops, Save-A-Lot. If you can get there before Donna Oswald, because she got all the deals, amen. She riseth also while it is yet night. Now, ladies, the Jewish night is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., so that means it's about 5 a.m. I think I better move on. I sense a good spirit here. I don't want to kill the meeting this morning. And giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Now, look at this. No, come on, we're keepers at home, right? She considereth a field and buyeth it. Now, don't shoot the messenger. But she must have a little something in her pocket. She must have a little business transaction sense. I'm sure in her consideration, if Scripture was Scripture, if she got any wisdom, she'd probably run it by her husband. Hey, what do you think of this deal here? But she buys a field with the fruit of her hands. That means what she made with what she had. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. It don't sound like she's sitting around eating peanut butter bonbons on Facebook with her friends overseas, does it? I've never had a peanut butter bonbon. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. What? In addition to the home? In addition to the children? Her children are going to rise up and call her blessed in a minute. Her husband's known in the gates and he safely trusts in her. And she's reaching out her hand to the poor and needy, a ministry as well? I'm just talking about ideals here. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. Sounds a little risque to me. God lost some of you there. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. He's a big shot. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, a business, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Wow. Ooh, you don't like this, do you? You better adapt your thinking to the Bible, lest you go on thinking you're on the right track and you're on the wrong track and messing up somebody's life. What are you advocating? I'm not advocating anything. I'm just reading the Bible. I got 8 daughters and a wife and a granddaughter. I know there's a devil. I know there's a God. So I'm just tiptoeing through the tithers, and I want to get it as right as you want to get it. Amen? What are you saying? You can't believe me when I'm not saying nothing. I'm just reading the Bible. She openeth her mouth with, verse 25, we don't want to miss it. Strength and honor are her clothing. See, it ain't all about the tapestry. And she shall rejoice, ladies, listen to me, in time to come. Right now, your clothing is diapers and pussies. That's a pacifier in our house. Right now, your clothing is colic and misery and stick with it. God doesn't command and not reward, like the preacher was saying forth. Listen, you reap what you sow both ways. We're living the dream right now. I don't have my phone. My daughter texted me from Texas last week on Monday, and she has in quotes, "While I'm miserable in this marriage, well, hang around for 8 more years, you'll be 70 and dead. I love your preaching, Dad." I'm not rejoicing. Hang in there, you might in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. That's because she's in here. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh way well to the ways of her household and needeth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Did you hear that? So either she's not looking well to the ways of her house, or you're just so self-absorbed that you don't have a good word to say. Everybody needs a little pat on the back now and then. Like up here on the back, guys. Many daughters have done virtuously. Don't miss 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Don't miss it. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So the Titus 2 woman comes and says, "You owe me, because I'm a widow." Men, if we're not to boast ourselves of the morrow, hang on 1 second with me. I don't want to lose this. Just bear with me. You won't get this at the big churches. Okay. There's your complete Bible woman. I read in Genesis chapter 24 about some daughters out getting water for their dad's flock. Could your daughter water camels? I read in Acts chapter 16 about a woman that sold purple and scarlet and invited the preacher and his disciples to her house. Listen, if we're not going to boast ourselves of tomorrow, and I'm worse than an infidel if I provide not for my own, I must have provision, I'm changing gears a little bit, for my absence. Let's play what if I die today. If I die today, first thing we got to do is what? Bury me. 3,500 minimum. Oh, by the way, you got to be able to sign to write the check that's in his name. And if you're not a power, isn't this so practical, like a veggie sub? And you're not a power of attorney, you can just wait on that. And them little children that you waited and waited and waited to make a will, that's called responsibility. That's called the wise man foreseeth, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple passed honor upon it. Well, let's see, you're 57 years old now. You got a will yet? No. God will take care of it. No, God's given you. God's not going to move your mountain when you got a bulldozer right there. Isn't this so practical today? And we're getting over the hill, many of us. And the absence of you and I, head of home, whoever you might be, is enough stress for that woman you love, let alone her feet being, or the rug being pulled out for under, that she can't even, the car registration is due April 30th, the end of the month, and she's not on the registration. And those pistols that you keep, now she has them illegally. See, isn't this so practical? It's boring. Let's see, you made $41,000 last year. Who's going to watch the kids next week when you're out looking for a job? Well, doesn't the government do something like that? Yeah, they might, depending on your situation. You know what it's going to cover? No? Why not? What Christian school are you going to put him in while your wife goes to work? What if you both died? My wife and I are getting on an airplane next week. Just me and her on our anniversary. And my firstborn is going to be able to spend Mother's Day with her mother. What if that plane goes down? Is your mother going to want your children? She'll have a voice in court if you don't have a will. Maybe your rich brother or sister would make a claim. Who gets the money? Who gets your stuff? Who's responsible? Will your lost heathen wayward son or daughter come and put their stake in for their claim? I'm just upsetting you, ain't I? And the Lord upset. I'm just think. Doesn't God provide for widows? Let's go look at it. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Widows in their affliction. Isn't it like a lot of times when we say, well, the Lord will take care of her, that means we get stuck with her. Let's see what the Bible says about taking care of the widows. Verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. Okay, if the church is going to help, you have to be a widow indeed. And there are some qualifications. Did you know there was qualifications? Okay, let's see what the qualifications are. If any widow have children or nephews, if you have sons or daughters, you're out. Now you look down the row at that 18-year-old boy. And you tell me if he's going to support your home when he can't pay his car insurance. Or girl, or daughter. It says children, you're out. Nephew, you're out. Let's read on. Are we having fun yet? Let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite. Pay back their parents for changing your diapers. Your work-age children are responsible for you in the absence of your husband. Isn't that encouraging? Aren't you glad you've trained them? Aren't you glad they have marketable skills? Because now your son-in-law is going to be thrilled to have you in and support you and his family. You ever talk to him about it? Yeah. Okay, let's go on with our qualifications. See if Dad croaked today, if you'd be qualified tomorrow. If any widow have children or nephews, let them first show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed, one, and desolate, 2, trusteth in God, 3, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day, 4, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But it, now this is the context, gentlemen, that we read this in. So really it's for the children. If any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years old. If you're under 60, you're out. And having been the wife of one man, ever been married more than once, you're out. Why? I don't know. Well reported of for good works. There's another one. If she have brought up children, and she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse. Where's Andy? Andy. He's teaching. There's a real good-looking guy. You'd never know he was 30. Black. I mean, he looked like he'd come right out of a GQ magazine. Andy Willard. He sells life insurance. And I'm not, he don't know I'm saying this, but you know what I'd do? I'd at least look into it. I don't know if I like this. But the younger, isn't it so practical? I don't know if I like a veggie sub, but it's good for me. But the younger widows, at least so they could get on their feet. I tell my wife, they'll be lined up for miles for you. Oh, yeah, sure, with 9 kids. Yeah, don't let them kid you. So I don't expect them to be smoking cigars in my bathtub. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say that she's going to, you know, she's still. Now, 5 years, she'll be 60. Let's not overdo it. But the younger widows refuse. You woke up. That was not in the notes. I'm sorry if you're offended. Is he dead yet? I'm not dead. Yeah, you're almost dead. For the younger widows refuse. If you're under 60, that's you. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. In other words, you're going to take care of Mrs. So-and-so that came along so she can go around having damnation because they've cast off their first faith with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies speaking things they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry. Ooh, look at those next two. Bear children. It's almost like you got to go to mission field to get children these days. Must be easier over there. Guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Is your teenage son or daughter ready to support a widow? What about the unmarried daughters? Let's just talk, can we? Is it conceivable that there might be women that don't marry? Is that conceivable? Is there a plan for provision? Well, if look at I've got 8 daughters. I'm thinking these things through. What's the plan for provision? Well, as long as she's on this earth, she can live with me. Great. What happens when you're not on this earth? Well, I'll leave her the house. Does your wayward son know that? Is that in the will? Do your other children know that? Is that Bible? I'm making you think, ain't I? If I could get one person to prevent somebody from not getting some child or some widow or someone not get the rug pulled out from under them, you say, preacher, I don't have enough to put crumbs on the table today. Well, pray about it. Pray about it. You say, I disagree with you. Free country. I mean, I think the Proverbs 31 woman could turn a buck. I don't think she was necessarily... In fact, I know she wasn't a waitress in a restaurant. But she was resourceful. She was turning a buck. She could help her husband. I'll provide in the wilderness, God said. But you take those things that are required and don't go out empty. And we've got a great opportunity. Our young men are going into these workplaces and spinning heads. Why, Pastor, what are they doing? This is heavy. They show up. Walter, do I have a witness? They ask him. Ask him how it is to keep teenage employees. They show up. They don't call 5 minutes before and say, oh, I'm going to the dance tonight. I can't make it. Show up. Two, this is heavy. They work. This is another big one. And they don't get DWIs. We get guys hired with construction firms and all they do is drive. How come you're driving? They all got DWIs. You ever discuss with your family your absence? Are you prepared to die today? How's your veggie sub tasting? Go to first, let's do this. Let's just go to James 2 and I'll be through. Because we're. I think I made my point, and if this just is a message, just gets washed out to sea, that's okay. But this is what I saw here. And I'm not saying I got it all lined up. Look at this brother Foster. He lives in New York. His wife, they got in an accident in Virginia. He owns a landscaping business. You know what time of year it is? His children, I saw a picture, it brought a tear to my eye. I can't even, they brought the children to the outside of the hospital and they can look at their totally disabled mother through a glass window. I thought, man, what if that was her? Am I ready? Well, preacher, you're not trusting the Lord. Yes, I am trusting the Lord. James 2:15, and then we'll go home and have a veggie sub. Verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Let the Lord take care of it. I'm trusting God. You say, well, she's got the house. How much does it cost to maintain that house? Do you have a lot extra left over? Well, I got $100,000 life insurance, and you live on $50,000, so there's 2 years. Just throwing some things out. Okay, here we go. What doth it profit, my brethren? 14. If a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother be sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace. Be warmed and fed. See you later, honey. Not there in the air. See you in the throne room. Love you. Really? Let's stand.